Morning, everyone. It is February 15th to 10:02 in the morning. There's a quorum present. We're going to call this meeting to order. You can all join me for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to item number three on today's agenda. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for February 15th, 2022. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? For those in the audience, if there's any public comment, come up to the podium, state your name. Anybody on Zoom, use the raise your hand feature or star six to unmute yourself. Morning. Save it for the public comment period.
Okay. You said the beginning. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Sorry, almost there. I just realized who you guys were. Yes.
Sorry.
Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Not seeing any public comment. My fellow commissioners have any comments regarding today's agenda?
Comments? No, thank you.
All right. Would you entertain a motion then, please?
Yeah. This is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number four, this is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval for the minutes for January 4, 2022. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for January 4, 2022? Not seeing any public comment. My fellow commissioners have any comments on the minutes?
I have just two small ones on page 12 of the minutes. In the in the first large paragraph, it was a comment of mine, and what it reads is this, meaning we have the ability to consider. He does want people to be disappointed, and that was he does not want people to be disappointed. Normally, I don't quibble about words, but it's the exact opposite of what I think I said. I can't be sure that that's what I said, but that's what I meant. And then just a couple lines below that. There's a reference to considering at the February 4th meeting. I believe that was a February 1st meeting. And those are the only two changes that I'd like to request.
All right. Noted.
And with that, I'll make a motion if it's all right.
Sounds good.
All right. Yep. So I move to approve the minutes for our January 4th, 2022 meeting with the two noted changes.
I'll second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number five is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any public comment. My fellow commissioners have any comments regarding today's consent agenda?
Nothing. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah. I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
I'll second.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. All right. Moving right along to item number six is now public comment. Anybody would like to make public comment? Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. This comment should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda. This comment should be limited to the agendized topic. Thank you. I've already seen the motion. Thank you. Don't forget to state your name.
Okay. Hello. Before I get started, I would like this to go on the record, please. My name is Ivy Lindgraf, and I'm 8 years old, homeschooled, and I live in Virginia City Highlands. A few weeks ago, I wrote a letter to the board of directors of UC Highlands. I would like to read it to you since the letter actually pertains to the county, not the Highlands. Dear Board of Directors, I moved into the house next door to Pinion Park. Super excited to get on the swings. When I walked over there, there were none. So I ran right back to my new house in anger. Every time I go over there, I always stare in disappointment at the swing post and wonder why. If there's someone there, they always say they must not like kids if they took those down. I think you should bring them back because every park I've ever been to has swings. There are many kids in the Highlands like myself that are homeschooled. I will never have the opportunity to swing on the swings at school. Some may never learn, which you're taking a well-known opportunity from kids. I notice that the baby swings are still up, but not ours. You know, kids like swinging too, not just the babies. Stress affects kids a lot, so if you put the swings back, it'll help a lot. If COVID is the reason, show me on a real document that kids can get infected from swinging. Kids should be able to swing now and then. So please put them back. I just heard a kid got hurt and his mom sued. But just because one kid got hurt doesn't mean you have to hurt a lot of other kids. I really hope you will consider my request on behalf of all the kids in the Highlands. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much for your public comment. Appreciate that. Is there any other public comment today? All right. Again, thank you for taking the time to come up here. Much appreciated. We're going to move right along to item number 7, which is discussion only. No action or no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. As always, we're going to start with the Sheriff's Office.
Good morning, commissioners. A little bit of sad news today. I'm sure most of you have probably heard by now. If not, another one of our Comstock legends has passed. David Toll passed over the weekend. He's spent the last 50 or so years chronicling the life on the Comstock. Fortunately, he was able to see his new book released before he passed, but definitely was a great neighbor of mine, and his absence will be felt here on the Comstock. So that's all I have for today.
Thank you, Sheriff. Moving on to next on the list will be Fire Department Chief Longcar. And the chief with us today? Okay. We will move on to Public Works. Jason Wersbicki.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioner. This brief update, as you guys saw this morning, run around trying to keep the roads sanded and keep people from sliding off the hills. And another thing coming up here in maybe next 2 or 3 weeks, hopefully, we'll be getting the 2022 road rehab project out to bid to be able to complete a few roads this spring. That's about all I have at this point in time.
Thank you, Jason. My fellow commissioners, have any comments for Jason? Thank you. All right. Moving right along to Project Coordinator Mike Northan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northan, Operations and Projects Coordinator. Just item number one is the Lockwood Tower Road and Retaining Wall Rehab Project is currently out to bid. Actively out there soliciting some contractors, trying to get some interest in this project. Item two is the Highlands Fire Stations, number 72, the apparatus building. We're just waiting right now on finals for the electrical design, and that'll be ready to go out to bid as rapidly as possible as soon as I get those. Item number three, the TRI government building re-roof project will also be going out to bid, we think, later this week, maybe first of next week. And then pursuant to NRS 338.1385, I, as the authorized representative, must report to the public body all contracts awarded as public works. So next month will be the first quarter, and I will have that report ready to present to the board sometime at one of the March meetings. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Well, commissioners, have any questions? No questions, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to communications, Becky Parsons.
Hello, Becky Parsons, for the record. I have nothing new to update you guys with.
All right. Let's move on to emergency management. Laura Mather.
Good morning, Laura Mather, for the record. A couple of updates today. As we know, the governor has rescinded the mask mandate, except for a few exceptions. So that's good news. Our COVID numbers are declining pretty rapidly. They went from 40 to 60 to 38 to 24 cases. So we are seeing a decline here in Story County. I just want to caution those with any underlying conditions that even though our numbers are declining, they are still substantially higher than last year. So it is this Omicron variant that spikes so highly. So I just want all of our citizens to continue to be careful. Last week, we were allocated about 900 or exactly 900 COVID-19 home tests. Over a two-day period, we passed all of those out to the citizens of Story County and Story County employees. We did receive an additional small allotment of the COVID-19 home tests. So we will be at the Mark Twain Community Center this Thursday, the 17th, from 12:30 to 2 p.m., handing out more COVID home tests. People are welcome to come by. They get two per person, and we will be handing those out at that time. Any questions on that? Everybody's welcome to give us a call. 847-0986 is our office phone. They can call me directly on my work cell phone, which is 432-4081. I'm happy to answer any questions on those tests. Honey Tapley and I will be attending the Nevada Emergency Preparedness Conference in Las Vegas next week. I'm really looking forward to that. I will be able to finally see in person a lot of the people that we have been working through this pandemic over the last 2 years and only seeing on Zoom meetings. We're going to be able to actually meet each other in person at this conference. So we're looking forward to that. Also, I'm very pleased to announce that Honey Tapley, as of about 8:30 this morning, is officially our Story County Community Relations Coordinator. So I encourage everybody to welcome her aboard, even though she's been working with me for a year and a half. And I also want to thank Eric Schoen and his staff at the Community Chest. It's through their organization that they were able to facilitate the three different grants that kept her working with me over the past year and a half. So thank you to Eric and his staff. Speaking of Honey, she is not on this call. She's working on a project that has a pending deadline. But as far as the community relations report, we were able to close out one of the community project grants, and that was with the delivery of 60 chairs and 9 tables for the BC Highlands Community Center. And that is the end of my report.
Thanks, Laura. Commissioner Gilman, you have anything for Laura?
I'm curious, Laura, that I am running into so many, many, many people that have had the Omicron COVID with very little effects. It's been a pretty mild, if you will. I'm just curious if there are any hospitalization statistics that go along with the just the report that someone has caught the Omicron.
So the state and the CDC are tracking those numbers. They are finding that that fewer people are being hospitalized with the Omicron variant, although as with the other variants, it tends to be the unvaccinated that have the stronger symptoms and are more likely to be hospitalized. I don't have those. I know those numbers exist. I don't have them. I can reach out to them, to the biostatisticians, though, and see if I can get those numbers.
I don't know that you don't have to do that on my count. I'm getting the impression that we're reporting a lot of incidents, but we're not reporting a lot of hospitalizations. I'm not sure that that information is important for all of us. I'd like to see more of it, but not necessary for you to go track it down for Story County.
Right. And that is the trend. I mean, that is what the health officials are finding, is that the Omicron variant tends to be less severe as far as symptoms and the effects on the person. So that is the trend that they are seeing. That's one of the reasons we're tending to phase out of this as far as an emergency, because they are seeing a trend with the new variants that it is less severe.
Thank you for the answer.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Laura?
Not questions. I Laura, I just want to thank you for making the special effort to get down to Mark Twain. I know we have some senior citizens down there that maybe can't make it up the hill. And I know the test that you had before went quickly. And so I appreciate you making sure to get out to that community.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. And I just encourage anybody, if anybody has any questions, they need help, they felt left out, anything like that, I have my work cell phone on me all the time. I just encourage anybody in the county to feel free to reach out to me. If they have any questions, any concerns, anything like that, we are here for them. So please reach out to me.
I can vouch. I always seem to call her on her day off and she always answers. So. Thanks for that update, Laura.
Thank you.
And congrats to Honey. So.
Yes, I'll let her know. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll skip her on the update. We'll move right along to the VCTC, Denny Dotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Denny Dotson here, and I will hold my comments for an agenda item later in the meeting. Thank you.
All right, thank you. How about water and sewer, Mike Nevin? Hey, Mike on today? No? Okay. Moving on to the comptroller's office, Jennifer McCain. In person
today. Good morning, Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller for the record. First off, I want to publicly thank Public Works, specifically Irving Powers and his crew, and Rudy and Tyler. They did an amazing job over at our office, getting rid of some very dangerous, awkward steps and giving us a nice straight pathway, as well as taking down a very large, dangerous dead tree. So we have a clear view of B Street and down the road. And I think anybody visiting our office will notice a huge difference. So I wanted to publicly thank them. They worked very hard for two and a half, three days for us, and appreciate it. Next, I wanted to let you know where we are in the budget process. Yesterday, all department level budgets were due in. I have received or am in communication with all department heads, and we're preparing to move forward. You can expect the first meeting in April that we will be presenting for your approval, the tentative budget. If you have any specifics or want to make sure anything is included in the budget, I would appreciate a phone call, and my door is always open if you want to just walk in. And that goes for everybody. If anybody has any comments or concerns with how the budget might look or has looked in the past, I appreciate all comments. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jennifer. Mr. Gilman, you have anything for Jennifer?
No questions. Thank you, Jennifer.
Vice Chair?
Thank you.
Thanks again for that update. Moving on to the assessor's office, Janice Seddon.
Good morning. We have nothing to report today.
All right, very well. Moving on to the planning department, Kathy Canfield.
Good morning, everybody. I don't have any comments for today. Thank you.
All right. How about the recorder's office, Marnie Hansen Martinez?
Nothing to report today.
All right, thank you, Marnie. IT department, do we have Tim on?
James Dean. Story County IT Director. Good morning, Commissioners.
Glad to hear your voice, James.
Thank you, sir. Just a quick update. Just want to commend my staff for keeping all the plates spinning over the last 2 months during my recovery. And then also we've promoted Riley Beckwith to a Tech 1 position, and we will be filling her position early next month. So IT should be fully staffed in early March. And that's all I have today. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, James. Anything?
No, I just want to say I think that's great that we could move her up internally and bring someone new to fill that position. It's fantastic.
Indeed. Congrats to Riley. All right. Human Resources, Toby Whitten.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing to report today.
All right. Thank you. Community Development, Pete Renaud.
Good morning, Commissioners. As always, we're still receiving applications for permits. Staying busy with the plan review. It looks like our plan review is catching way up, and our 30-day target is more like a three-week target. I've been working on a simplified and updated construction packet for our new website. So hopefully when that website comes online, we have some easy reading for the contractors and the residents. And that's all I have for today.
Great news, Pete. Thanks. Commissioner Gilman, you have anything for Pete?
I do not. Thanks, Pete.
All right, Vice Chair?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that update, Pete. Community Chest, Eric Schoen.
No comments at this point in time. I'll wait until the agenda item.
Okay. Sounds good. Moving on to the Senior Center, Stacy York.
Good morning, Stacy York, for the record. Just a quick update with COVID vaccines. Our next clinic will be at the Virginia City Senior Center, March 1st from 3 to 4. And that is all I have today.
All right. Thank you, Stacy. I see Jeannie back there. Do we have anything from Jeannie?
No.
All right. How about the Justice Court? Do we have Judge Harrington on the line?
Yep, I'm right here. Good morning, Commissioners. Judge Harrington here. Nothing to report this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. That is always good. The DA's office. I think we have both in-house today.
I have nothing to report today.
Thank you, DA Langer.
Let me ask Ms. Langer.
Sure.
Ms. Langer?
Yes.
Did you want to comment on the roads signs on the Long Valley Road?
Well, I actually, as far as the Long Valley Road signs, we had a trial, I believe it was February 2nd, and those road signs are supposed to be removed within the next 30 days. Also, the road sign from the county road, we're going to take that one down, and we're actually going to put a sign designating Long Valley Road. The Public Works Department is going to put that up after we get these other signs down. And the county signs down. So that would be the next 30 days. So I was going to wait and surprise everybody and hopefully have a good report in 30 days. But so stay tuned in and I'll keep you updated on the Long Valley signs.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. Second to last, but never least, County Manager Osborne, what do you have for us today?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Husband for the record. Just a reminder, the legislative interim season has really never ended and will not end, and we're on it. Our white paper and fiscal analysis is still ongoing. We're expanding the scope of that document based on some deadlines that were extended. So that is going on. We're working very closely with our government relations folks on having meetings and keeping an eye on what's going on off the Hill, both in Carson City as well as Washoe County. And we are meeting with different representatives on that. And we will be budgeting for necessary expenditures for the next coming year, even before the legislative season begins for these sorts of matters. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, anything for County Manager?
Nothing new. Thank you.
Nice chair. Nothing. Last but not least, clerk, anything? Okay. Chief Vonkar, are you on and ready to do an update?
Good morning. This is Tiffany Peretti here with the office manager for the district on behalf of Chief Vonkar, and we have no updates.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That concludes our That concludes our staff updates. We're going to resume with the agenda on item number 8, which is board comments. I'm going to start at my far left. Commissioner Gilman, any comments today?
Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I have no comments right now. Thank you.
And I do not have any comments either. So we will move on to item number 9. This is discussion for possible action. Authorize the county manager to approve and sign a contract between Story County and Walker & Associates for consultation and water resource planning with focus on potential negotiations with the state of Nevada regarding allocations and acquisition of water and or water system components of the Marlette Lake water system at an hourly rate of $100 and not to exceed $20,000 on a time and materials basis, and for a period from March 1, 2022 to July 1, 2023. Are you going to take this or will Walker?
Probably a little bit of both. Steve Walker is with us today. I'll get us started. Austin Osborne, County Manager for the record. Just a little recap. The state of Nevada owns the water that we bring up here under the Comstock through the Marlette Water System since about 1964. And then that's managed through 10-year agreements through Carson City Water Agreement. We're currently working under a Memorandum of Understanding to the 2002 agreement. And that MOU is allowing the parties to negotiate a new successor agreement. And that includes like rates and water infrastructure, et cetera. The partners to that are Carson City, Story County, of course, or the Virginia City Water System, and Tumwa is also involved in the discussions, the Truckee River or Truckee Meadows Water Authority. So we will discuss these and do these negotiations. At that point, it'll go to the state, and then we'll negotiate that 2022 agreement. We are right now working on a water master plan in Story County for the entire south end of the county, including the Highlands, Virginia City, Gold Hill, Silver City, and Lyon County, and Mark Twain. And then that water master plan will really be the foundation from where we bargain the next agreement. Carson City, Tumwa are also doing the same thing. They're building the water master plans. Those will be integrated into a state master plan, and the same thing applies to the whole group. At this point, there is a request in front of you, and I'd like Steve Walker, if you'd like to come up and talk about maybe some of his experience in water management in Northern Nevada, especially with regard to the Story County Water System, Troa, and other things regarding the Truckee River. But this is a contract that would bring Steve to the table with his 30 years of experience in these matters, really a foremost expert in the region in these types of things. And so just as a base, this contract would be for $100 an hour. It would be a $20,000 cap. It would end on July 1st, 2023. And that would be a not to exceed, of course, and it would be as needed basis to help us negotiate an agreement that makes sure that we are looking out for the best interests of the county, especially when we have all of these different parties at the table, each having representation.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. For the record, my name is Steve Walker. I basically will give you some of the background on, I think, why Austin wanted me to be involved in this. I have represented Truckee Meadows Water Authority for 18 years in the legislature. I also worked with Carson City's Public Works Department on several contracts and also represented their interest on water issues in the legislature for the last 18 years. I was the regional water management planner for Washoe County from 1995 to 2000 and was the principal author of the very successfully approved regional water management plan. I think it's very important that Story County has moved forward, and I've been trying to move them forward for 10 years to do their master plan and figure out what is your water future and how do you allocate the resource from Marlette Lake. I know the system mostly from the west side of the site and up to the mountains. I measured snow at Marlette Lake for 10 years, working for Natural Resources Conservation Service. And I worked on the system with Carson City Public Works Department. Know the basic layout, lived in Washoe Valley for 11 years, and Mary and I rode our horses up there lots of times. So I'm also quite familiar with the Franktown Decree, and I think it's very important that Story County make sure, because you're recognized as first in time, first in place in that decree, that you make sure that you take advantage of your position. And there's, although I don't think the yield's quite there, but that decree says you have 7,000 acre feet of water. You're not using that obviously right now, but so that's kind of my background, and I look forward to working with Story County on the issue. I do want to address the separation between the contract that Walker & Associates has on lobbying and what this work would do. I can give you a very specific example. Today at 1 o'clock, there's going to be a meeting of the Marlette Lake TRPA Interim Committee of the Legislature. One of the agenda items on that is the report on the Marlette Lake water system. That I will monitor under my normal duties working as a lobbyist for Story County. If I get this contract, it would be strictly on the technical issues and the research issues associated with Story County's water resources. I have an opportunity for this contract because my wife and I are slowing our business down, and I no longer have contracts with Tumwa or Carson City, so it avoids the conflict of interest. And so basically, I look forward to working with Story County, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
Appreciate it, Steve. Before you go, let's take a little public comment. I have a few questions for you, but let's go to public comment first. Is there any public comment on this matter for Austin or Steve? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Austin or Steve?
I'm perhaps premature, but Steve, I'm really interested. You know that. I'm sorry. So here in Story County, we're very focused on making some amendments and changes, upgrading the water system in the Highlands and Mark Twain and other areas that have suffered problems. Perhaps we'll see problems in the future. Using your crystal ball, what's the probability of our securing additional water from Marlette to serve some of these plans that we'd like to see come to fruition?
Again, I go back to the very good question. I go back to the resource itself. Right now, I think you're using 200 acre feet of a resource that potentially produces 20 times that. Carson City has just started to reuse the resource again. It 2 years ago quit using the resource and was taking water from Douglas County. Putting water systems into developments that are parcel maps or large acreage where it is individual well and septics, converting that to a municipal water supply is tough. It's tough because what you've lost is the ability to initially finance it. And so you'd have to come back in with both the capital improvement plan and rates. And you also are looking at infrastructure that goes a long way between lots. Having said that, you have problems in both those places, and you have to address those problems, and you have the resource, but you're going to have to develop plans that are going to be and find the money to actually put the infrastructure in. 20 years ago, I was working on issues in the Virginia Highlands on the water. And it hasn't moved since. It hasn't changed, but it's time to look at that. If you don't look at those resources and try to get water to those sites, then it's use it or lose it on the system.
So you know that we're in the process of upgrading our capital improvement plan, and we're anticipating having the resources financially to do some of those upgrades. They're part of our planning process now. So assuming that the capital is available, what's the probability of success in securing the additional water rights?
I don't think you have to secure additional water rights. You have the water rights already there. It's a surface water right, so it is not like a groundwater right. You have to show you use every 5 years. And so I think it's very high. It's I would say, yes, the water resource is there, and you, Virginia City, are first in time, first in place in the decree. And so I think that it's the real challenge is the infrastructure, not the water rights.
I understand. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chairman, do you have any questions for Steve?
Yeah, Steve, are there potential legal impediments to expanding the scope of our water system beyond the Comstock? Is that part of the discussion that would need to happen?
If you wanted to expand the Marlette Lake resource beyond your area of beneficial use right now, there would be some issues, but the basic issue is over, and that is you've already implemented the interbasin transfer. And because the water is, the whole system is a Truckee River watershed, right? Okay, so the decree and your allocation already does an interbasin transfer. You had to do an interbasin transfer brand new and meet the 5 criteria that are pretty strict on it. I would say that I wouldn't give you much of a chance. But you've already done it, and I think you're in the Carson watershed. You could go back potentially, I don't know, into, if you want to go all the way down to Argosita Canyon, back into the Truckee watershed. So I think that you're in pretty good shape because the interbasin transfer was recognized in 1877.
Great. Thank you. My only other question is Tumwa a more recent participant in these discussions, or how far back does their involvement go in the discussions about the Marlette system?
Tumwa is a recent participant in these discussions. I think what they're seeing that there's a resource there that hasn't been used, and with they're building a new water treatment plant on Galena Creek. And when you take a agricultural water right and convert it to a municipal water right, you only get to use the consumptive use portion. You have to require a return flow. They're saying, well, and I don't know if this is exactly their strategy, but I would assume that if you build a third water treatment plant, it would be very efficient to use all the water resources and not let some pass. But you have to make the return flow into the Truckee River, and the Marlette Lake resource could be used for that, right? Down through Franktown Creek and through Little Watch Lake Steamboat, that whole thing. And I think that's probably part of the strategy. And they're also maybe, on abundant water years, Marlette spills, right? And it spills into the lake itself, where they have, they and TCAG have the top 6 feet of storage.
Great, thank you.
So my questions to you were regarding how much water is there. You said there's 4,000 acre feet of water in Marlette Lake?
No, there's been estimates about 3,000 acre feet of water in Marlette Lake, and in the basin, the watershed that drains in there, that would be an estimate of the perennial yield. Okay. And it's about that. I don't hold me quite to that. I'll get back to you specifically with it.
Yeah.
One of the issues that hasn't been addressed and needs to be addressed is that there's an agreement between the state of Nevada and NDOW, Nevada Department of Wildlife, to use Marlette Lake as a Lahontan Quattro trout rearing facility. So in that species migrate, spawns in the spring. Mm-hmm. So it comes out of the lake to North Canyon that goes down into Spooner, and they capture the fish and they melt, get the eggs. And there's an agreement to that the water surface has to be at certain levels during that time. How does that impact, how do the fishery use of that, how does that impact the actual resource of the lake? And so basically with it, naturally gas fuel pump station put in with Carson Water South Conservancy District 10 years ago, the ability to use the resource is greatly enhanced versus what the old diesel pump engine there. So to get specifically to your question, there is that resource. It's never been really fully used because of two issues. First, the pumping, and secondly, the fisheries. And in the system itself, the basic right is 10 CFS cubic feet per second, 365 days a year the entity that can use that is Story County. If you do the math on that, that's about 7,100 acre feet of water. Franktown Creek doesn't run 10 CFS 365 days a year. So it's probably less than that, but it's just, it's way more than you're using.
And you said we're using, Virginia City's currently using about 200 acre feet a year.
Is that correct, Austin? I think that's, I did a review of your okay. master plan. Mm-hmm. And I think that if there, and your agreement with the state is to deliver 400. You have capacity issues, obviously, on your site.
Right.
And that's a number one job that needs to be solved.
Okay. Thank you very much, Steve.
You're very welcome.
All right. So with no other questions, would you like to entertain a motion?
Sure. I'd be happy to. You know, if Steve's all we can get, no, I'm just kidding. I'm thrilled that we have the opportunity to have him working on this. And I'd be happy to make a motion. So I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to authorize the county manager to approve and sign a contract between Story County and Walker & Associates for consultation in water resource planning with focus on potential negotiations with the state of Nevada regarding allocation and acquisition of water and or water system components of the Marlette water system at an hourly rate of $100 and not to exceed $20,000 on a time and materials basis, and for a period from March 1st, 2022 to July 1st, 2023.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you,
Austin. Good luck. Moving on to item number 10. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration of letters of interest and appointment of a qualified person to fill the expected upcoming vacancy in the office of the Story County Clerk Treasurer upon the incumbent's resignation from Clerk Treasurer's office. The candidate appointed by the board will serve until January 2, 2023. Toby's going to take this.
I'd like to relinquish my position as legal counsel to the board at this point. I believe Ms. Langer will take on that obligation.
Okay.
Attorney status of the premises.
Noted.
Get you kicked off if you want, Mr. Chairman.
Take it off.
All right, Austin Osborne for the record, County Manager. I'll give you a summary of what's here in front of you and what's led up to this point. So the purpose of what we have here today is a temporary fulfillment of a vacancy in the Clerk Treasurer's office. The Human Resources Office posted a vacancy per policy, and Vanessa, the current Clerk Treasurer, assisted to make sure that that posting included the proper NRS's descriptions, et cetera, for that office. The posting included a title of the position, the duties, such as it is a finance job, a clerk of the court, a clerk of this commission and other commissions. It is the district court, and it deals with voting and other matters. The NRSs for that office were also posted in the posting, and then the requirements of the job, and then a statement of very clarity that this is just a temporary appointment that will last until January 2nd, 2022. Three letters of interest were received. In short name, they were Dory Nevin, Jim Hindle, and Jason Vernon. We did a screening interview of all of the candidates to make sure that they completely understood the scope of duties of the job, including those that I listed above. The fact that it is a temporary job lasting until the set date, it is not to be assumed to be further employment behind or beyond that point outside of an election. And we made sure that the residents also met residency requirements and other requirements to be eligible for the position. All three of the applicants indicated that they understood the job and all those things I just said, and they all appear to qualify. So just at this point, I'm going to remind it is an interim position that will be lasting until January 1st or January 2nd of 2023, not 2022. And then a permanent person obviously would be decided by the voters of Story County. That's all I have. I'm on board. Ann Langer's on board, and the HR department is here with any questions you might have in this process. Thank you.
Is HR going to chime in about anything? Or
Jeannie's here and Toby, but I don't believe so at this time. But if there is otherwise, go for it.
All right. Toby, do you have anything before we start?
I don't have anything specific. I do want to thank County Manager Osborne for covering this one. If you have any questions, you're welcome to ask any of the three of us, though.
Okay. Jeannie, anything?
No, I'm just available for questions.
Okay.
And if you're not aware, Mr. Chairman, two of the applicants are here in person, and Dory Nevin is on Zoom. She was not able to attend in person. for a long-standing meeting she had. So,
no problem. All right. I'm going to look to my fellow commissioners here. Do we want to, we have questions we'd like to ask the applicants?
So I have, before we get into discussion, I was hoping potentially to ask Vanessa if she'd be willing to come up and just give us an idea of roughly what the breakdown of the job is between kind of the major focus areas. Mm-hmm. That would really help for me to understand kind of how the, just, you know, kind of, would that be all right to ask
Absolutely.
Her if she's comfortable doing that?
Are you comfortable? Great.
So I did kind of compare prepare a list of duties that the office is responsible for. Top of that list is, you know, clerk to the Board of County Commissioners, Board of Equalization, Debt Management, District Court Clerk, which is a pretty big function of what goes on, ex officio tax collector, so we bill and collect, Registrar of Voters. The office issues marriage licenses, fictitious firm names, notary bonds, powers of attorney. I do oversee the investments for the county. We collect and apportion all the county revenue, reconciliation of the cash accounts. The office oversees the purchase card system for the county. I serve as the treasurer to the Virginia City Tourism Commission. We also reconcile the V&T Railway Commission funds, monthly and quarterly disbursements to the state. We maintain a large variety of permanent records for the county, going back to the early 1800s. Part of the annual budget process, the EOC team, we handle a large quantity of public records requests weekly. And then we're also responsible for updating and maintaining the county code. And most recently, DMV has been added to that. It depends on what year we're in for what the focus is. You know, if it's an election year, that takes a pretty big chunk of time. The clerk to the board is happening every 2 weeks, an agenda, a packet, a meeting. And then the collection and disbursements of funds is daily. You know, we're handling money for the county regularly. And then that DMV function takes a lot of time too.
So Vanessa, since this is an appointment for the balance of this year, mm-hmm. and then I assume that anyone, these applicants are free to sign up in March to run in the election process.
Absolutely.
So one of them be selected for the interim process, but all of them, among others, could sign on in March to be a part of the voting process. May I assume that the majority of their responsibilities for the balance of this year are going to focus on the election issues?
It's going to be a large part of it. The conflict you run into is that if you choose to run for that office and you hold the office, now how much you touch the elections is very limited. You can help set up and get publications, but you're not going to do any programming or auditing or anything like that. So that leaves the rest of the office to get the election done and whoever's holding that seat and on the ballot to manage all the other day-to-day functions.
Do you see this year with what's happening nationally, any changes coming specifically or amendments to our process that we're going to need to look at as a county for our election process?
Well, we had the full change in that now it's two elections. You're doing a complete mail-in election and an in-person voting. We went through that last year during COVID, so we got a taste of how that works. And the deadlines have all changed. You know, they've scooted everything up, and same day voter registration makes that quite the pinch trying to get things published in time, knowing that people can walk in and register to vote at any time. That's going to be the biggest challenge, I think.
Do I understand that there's still at the state level, there's still some guidelines, regulations that are being finalized that we're still waiting for the final word on some of those?
Yeah. We're still waiting for the final regulations.
So nice of them to wait till the last minute yes. to get those to you.
So what if we were to have a situation where two people in that office are running for that position? You currently have three, if I'm not mistaken, in mm-hmm. that office. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to bring outside folks in?
Yeah. I mean, which is kind of normal anyways. We bring in some temporary part-time people to help get everything put together. We use a lot of the high school kids to help prepare the election and deploy it. So if you run into that with multiple candidates, I think you just have to bring in a little bit more outside help.
Okay. And there are people that are schooled in how to do this? I mean, you say high school kids, but...
Yeah, it's teachable.
There are professionals, too, mm-hmm. that we can bring in
yep.
for this? Okay. Do we have any other questions for Vanessa?
I think just if we could take those duties and group them roughly, say maybe clerk functions, financial treasurer functions, and then election functions, could you rough out roughly the focus, whether it's time or attention, between those kind of three areas, specifically looking at a year like this?
Yeah. Honestly, a year like this is just broken to thirds.
Okay.
It's just, I mean, just starting this morning, I've done something in each of those buckets.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. That's helpful for me.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to hear from each one of the candidates personally. I know we've had time to look at their applications. I have. I assume you all have. I'd like to hear from the candidates, and then maybe we can go to public comment. I know we have some folks here, maybe have some questions for the candidates. I asked the candidates, you're probably going to have to do some shuffling. There may be some folks that may have questions for you. So
Chairman, would you like to hear from the candidates, maybe like more of an opening statement, or is there maybe a kind of a general question that we can ask to each of them? What's your thought on?
I'd like to hear opening statements first, and then if we have specific questions, I mean, we can ask each of the candidates the question. So we can start with maybe Dorianne first, as far as an opening statement.
Hi, Dorianne Nevin. I want to thank you for considering me as the interim clerk treasurer. I know I'll be big shoes to fill if appointed. But I feel that I'm
If you can hear us, you've frozen up.
Can you hear me?
Now we're good, yes.
Okay. I don't know which part you guys, where I froze up at. I would continue to run the office as we have the last 10 years. Did I freeze?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Which part you guys where I froze? Sorry about that.
No problem. Why don't you shut your video off?
Sometimes that helps.
That might help with bandwidth. And if you could just start from the beginning.
Okay. I just wanted to thank you for considering me as the interim clerk treasurer. I know I will have big shoes to fill, but I'm confident that Vanessa has trained me in all aspects of the clerk treasurer's position. I will continue to run the office as we have for the past 10 years, and I will always have an open door for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Dory. We'll go to, we'll do this alphabetically, Jason, if you wanted to come up and make an opening statement. Alphabetical first names, just to be clear.
Good morning, commissioners. For the record, my name is Jason Verdon, and I appreciate the opportunity to you guys review my letter of interest. I come with this position with over 35 years of business and accounting experience. I've held treasurer positions in two separate organizations over my time. I've held positions as finance managers, accounting managers. I've been a controller for over 15 years, vice president of operations, and president of organizations. I feel I'm very well versed and qualified with my experience and background to step into this position. I'm sure there'll be a lot of learning on my part to do. I'm a very quick study, and I'll put every effort forward to make it a strong position for the county.
Thank you, Mr. Verdon. Mr. Handel?
Well, Dory and Jason have challenged me to be concise and quick, and I know that's a challenge for me. Again, just as everybody said, thank you for the consideration, and I just cannot congratulate and thank Vanessa and the team she's had for the job that they have done with this office. I have been very fortunate to have a good relationship with Vanessa. I have counted on her to be responsive for information, and she has always exceeded the expectations for the role of clerk treasurer. And from my expectation, that's a big achievement because I expect a lot. To me, the challenge, the charge that we're talking about in the interim office position is one of leadership. I know that this office is not a policy office. It is one of implementation and execution. Policy's up to you guys. So as Larry, the cable guy, says, it's about get her done. The team that Vanessa has put together has been very efficient, and I very much appreciate the customer service that they've provided. It's a core function of this county. Finance, records, elections, registrar, but let's not forget DMV. It touches every other office that goes on in this county, whether it be the assessor, the controller, county manager, and clearly a partner with the council, with the commission. As you know me, I've had 40 years corporate experience as well as experience as an entrepreneur. I've had the opportunity to live in Asia and then travel many parts of the world doing business, Asia, India, Middle East, as well as Europe and Africa. I, like we are dealing with here today, value the system that we live in. The fact that there are three people interested in this job is to be commended, because that gives you choice. That means that there are people who are interested in how this county functions and interested in the values that underlie the way we look at our government. I'm a public figure. You all know me through that. You know me personally as well as through being a public figure. You know my actions, my behaviors. I always strive to operate with the utmost integrity, honesty, and transparency. That to me is the key of what we're talking about today. Transparency. The people need to trust the people in this office. This office needs to execute itself such that it builds that trust, as well as allows people to understand what it's doing and how it's doing it. Again, I commend the team. I commend Vanessa with the job that they've done with that before. I am, as a public figure, I've had I've been honored to have your confidence in serving on the Planning Commission as chair for the last several years, as well as your representative to the Carson Water Subconservancy District. It's hard, that's a tongue twister for me, and being the representative there to represent Story County. One of the things I want to highlight, because I have been a public figure and involved in elections and involved in things that go on across the state as well as across the county. I have just spent over almost 20 hours with the Secretary of State in public testimony and in council to help with the development of the regulations to implement AB 321. Those regulations are still in process. They are still pending the actual publication for consideration by the interim legislative committee. And unfortunately, it's going to be right at the deadline when they come available for us in this county to implement. That's going to be a scramble on this team. And as the interim and as someone who does intend to run for this office, again, the team is going to have to implement the election. But the management oversight of that to make the accountability of the interim clerk treasurer is going to be very important. It's management. It's making sure that the process and procedures are boxes are being ticked, that the deadlines are being met, that the regulations are being adhered to. That doesn't bias what happens in the room and on the machines, what happens with mail-in ballots, which is really the big variable that has changed everything. But that managerial oversight is very important to make sure everybody understands the transparency, requirements and the accountability requirements. And I feel my background in managing teams across the world, managing teams in different countries remotely, as well as managing teams directly, I think brings a lot of expertise that will benefit this county. So I ask for your consideration. I'm open to questions. I'm always open to questions from the public. I believe that that is clearly one of the roles of this office, is to be open to the public and always open to engage and to provide explanation for what's going on. And I would expect no less of me to be able to do that with anybody that has questions of me today. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jim.
I think Mr. Walker got these.
All right, gentlemen, we'd like to involve the public in some Q&A first before we
probably good idea.
Look at Q&A amongst ourselves. All right. I'm going to reach out to the public, and if the public has any questions for any of the candidates, now is your time. Anybody in the courtroom, welcome to come up to the podium, state your name for the record. If there's anybody on Zoom, I would ask that you raise your hand. Use the raise your hand feature or star six to unmute yourself. Please state which candidate you'd like to ask the question to. I think it'd probably be best to ask all the candidates the same question, but that's your call. So,
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
might I suggest that that maybe questions are directed to the board, and then we can ask them to the candidates.
Yeah, that works for me.
I just feel like maybe that's a proper decorum as far as the organization goes. So comments, and certainly if people have questions, then they can direct those to the board, and we can when the time's right for them to the candidates.
That works for me. Are there any questions for the candidates from the public?
Comments?
Mr. Chairman, Keith Loomis. I'm here today in a private capacity. This has nothing to do with the district attorney's office. It's not a legal issue. This is a political issue that I think is coming before the board. And I wanted to provide some information that I think is relevant to the decision that you're going to make today. Now, I've known Jim Hindle probably for 7 years now, working with him at the Planning Commission. And I've worked with him as chairman of the Planning Commission. He's done a fine job. I have no problem with any of that. I think he's done very well. I personally like Jim. My concern is the job of managing the elections. I've handled election cases statewide in places like Esmeralda County and White Pine County and Nye County, and even a statewide race when I represented Ralph Nader when the Democratic Party wanted to remove him from the ballot and represent him in that. So elections to me are important. I think especially in these times that the validity and credibility of elections is very important. So it has come to my attention. It came to my attention a long time ago that Mr. Hindle was selected as an elector by the Republican Party for the presidential and vice presidential election of the state of Nevada in the last election. In that regard is his commitment as an elector with the Republican Party was to vote for Donald Trump as president if he won the Nevada election. Now, Donald Trump did not win the Nevada election, and so Mr. Hindle and the other electors, that slate of electors, became plaintiffs in a lawsuit brought against the state of Nevada in terms of whether that election was valid and whether it had credibility. Now, they challenged a number of different things, including election machines, whether there was bias involved, whether people were being given bribes to give their vote one way or another. And that was filed in Carson City in front of Judge Russell. Judge Russell heard the case, and he dismissed the case basically on. And let me just say that when the election contest was filed, one of the requests that was made for relief was that the slate of electors be certified as the duly elected electors for the state of Nevada. That was a request that was made in the election contest. That election contest was dismissed by Judge Russell. He did so on the basis that the plaintiffs had failed to provide sufficient evidence to establish any of the grounds to contest the election. So that was entered, that dismissal was entered on December 4th of 2020. Following that, there was an appeal to the Nevada Supreme Court. The Nevada Supreme Court upheld Judge Russell's decision, agreeing that there was insufficient evidence to support the allegations. And they issued their decision in that case on December 8th, 2020. Following that, the Mr. Hindel and the board and the slate of electors appeared down at the legislative building on December 20th, which was the day for the electors to cast their votes. And at that point, the electors made the statement that in a document entitled Certificate of the Votes of the 2020 Electors from Nevada. And they stated that we, the undersigned, being the duly elected and qualified electors for President and Vice President of the United States of America, do hereby certify the following, that they convened and that they cast their votes for Donald Trump to be president and for Mike Pence to be vice president. That was done within 6 days of the date that the Nevada Supreme Court had issued their opinion and with about 2 weeks from the time that Judge Russell had issued his opinion. That document that is signed by the electors and Mr. Hindel was then forwarded to the United States government, along with some similar documents from other states in the country. There about six other states did similar things, and some of those individuals are now going to be subpoenaed for hearings in front of the U.S. Congress. The Department of Justice is looking at those activities for possible criminal prosecution. Whether they will actually ever end up doing anything about it, I don't know. But it's being reviewed for that purpose. And I think that is a summary of what I really want to just bring to the attention of this board. I think Mr. Hindel would be fine as a clerk treasurer in terms of handling public records requests and financial things. There's no question about it. I think he'd be fine. But my concern is purely on elections. That's all I have.
Is that a statement or is that more of a question?
It's a statement.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Do you folks want to hear anything from the candidate regarding this? Or do you just want to let that statement?
I think I'd like to continue with public comment if that's all right. And then, but I would like to give Mr. Hindel a chance to respond if he so chooses.
Okay. So any other public comment? Give it just a second here. Just as a reminder, anybody on Zoom or calling in, you can use star six to unmute yourself or the raise your hand feature if you have any comments or questions for the candidates. Doesn't look like we have anybody that has any questions or comments.
All right.
Address the comment.
Yeah, I have some questions, but maybe before we move on to that.
See if Mr. Hindel, would you like to address Mr. Loomis's comment or not?
I need to say Jim Hindel for the record?
Yes. I just want to ask. You're a concerned resident of Nevada, right? You don't live in Story County, just to clarify. Okay, just check.
Mr. Loomis brings up good points, and I have a very good working relationship with Assistant District Attorney, Deputy District Attorney. I'm not exactly sure the correct title, with Mr. Loomis. As he cited, two of my colleagues are currently preparing for testimony to the Special Commission of Congress. So what I can say publicly is very limited because, of course, what I say can and will be used in that, depending on how it fits with the narrative that is trying to be spun. At the same time, what I will say is the timeline Mr. Loomis cites obviously is accurate. And I, one of the great things about this country is that we have redress against our government. The court system is one of those. We had issues. You know, everybody here knows that I am part of a team that went through and we highlighted 122,918 specific votes that were questionable. We can't call it fraud because we don't have investigative power, but we can highlight them. And that is our responsibility of citizens to do that. And I would be more than happy to address that in more detail with anybody who wants more information. I don't think that is the point here today. The point here today is the trust in the election system. And part of that that's being brought up is my participation in challenging the outcome of a vote. We challenged it in court. One of the last steps of redress, given that court did not look at our evidence, but looked at technicalities and dismissed the cases as a result, is that you can provide redress to the Electoral College if you question it as electors. This has happened multiple times in history, most famously in 1876, where the Electoral College was thrown, I believe, if I'm correct in this, to the Congress, and Congress decided for Rutherford B. Hayes to be our next president. There have been multiple times when competing slates from a specific state have been entered to the Electoral College. This is part of the constitutional process. Most recently, it happened in 1960 from the state of Hawaii in the Nixon-Kennedy election. And it actually was a significant contributor to Kennedy's victory, where two competing slates were picked. Hawaii called back one and approved the other after it had already approved the first one. So we had process on our side, we had history on our side, we clearly had legal counsel on our side to make sure that we were doing things legally, properly, constitutionally, such that there was no question what we were doing was trying to do anything other than follow the law. So that's how I'll answer that. The second part of it would be the trust in the system. And clearly, again, this role has no policy ability. It has to implement the law. It has to implement the regulations that come from Secretary of State through the legislature. That is a key role of this. That is what I would pledge to do. That was is what the oath would be if indeed you choose to appoint me, would be to make sure we adhere to the law and we execute elections as they are defined to be done through the law of the state of Nevada. And I think to allow me to elaborate a little bit more, one of my backgrounds that I bring to this is as a examined and approved member of the National Association of Parliamentarians. I've had the privilege to run meetings where there have been big contests. One of the roles I pride in myself in is being able to objectively run a process such that all sides of the argument have their ability to have their say. An election is no less than that, running it so that the people have their say and we have the ability to make sure that the people are the ones that choose the winner by the law as it's written. And I would pledge to do that. So hopefully I've addressed the issues that Mr. Loomis has brought up, as well as your concerns as to how my role in the election would be. And as we talked about before, if indeed you have a candidate, there needs to be an arm's length, but you still need to make sure as the interim clerk that the process is being implemented per the law.
Thank you, Jim.
We're gonna go ahead and take a 5-minute recess. We're going to reconvene here at just after 11:20.